On that week's WGY Morning News, this headline it hooked me right away. An expert who says your child is a genius, why doesn't his school think so? Hopeful parents send their kids off to school only to learn that their children, who they thought were brilliant, are disruptive, scattered, or slow. Before rushing to find out what's wrong with their kids, maybe what they need to do is diagnose the methods used at school instead. And that's what we are going to do today with Risa Steindl-Brown, an award-winning educator whose work has been cited by Congress. Risa, good morning.
Good morning, Don. How are you?
I'm absolutely terrific. And I have heard more and more stories because, you know, quite honestly, I'm a grandparent, and I hear stories back from my daughters and my son from families going to school. What is wrong with this picture? What's going on in schools?
Well, our industrial education processes kids in a particular way that leaves very little room for deviance. So kids that are very bright, kids that are bright but need more time and basic skills of reading and math, get trampled over in the process. And there's no system there for helping these children find their interests, their gifts, their talents, their passions, and incorporating it into the curriculum.
And it starts early, does it? I mean, as early as kindergarten or first grade. You have a youngster who maybe has difficulty reading, and right away they get labeled, and here comes that word that I used in introducing you, slow. Are they really not as bright as other kids?
No, absolutely. They are bright. Sometimes they are extraordinarily bright, and their minds work in a different way than what is required for reading. So reading is a very mechanical, linear process. Your eyes move from left to right. You have to look at the sound and the symbol. And these kids are busy analyzing, looking at abstract processes. Maybe they're not neurologically ready for their eyes to move from left to right, but they're very analytical, bright, abstract, creative thinkers. And this is a very mechanical process, and what these kids need is more time. But then what happens is, because we batch them all together, then they think they're not as good as the other kids, and then the teachers think they're not as good as the other kids, and parents think they're not as good as the other kids, and they get these labels, and then they believe these labels, and we lose all these incredible little bright little kids.
And there's the stigma that stays with this youngster. I should mention that you could read in detail, because Risa is a Mom's Choice Award winner. I couldn't remember the name of the award, Risa.
Mom's Choice Award, yeah.
The Call to Brilliance, which just happens to be an Amazon.com bestseller. What about parents? How do we help these kids who, let's say, they're not keeping up with reading, they're not keeping up with math in school?
Yeah. Usually, and we're talking about what happens when they're little, these kids who are, like I said, often very bright, need a more experiential education, more hands-on. They're often kinetic. They move around. They're manipulative. They understand the physical world in terms of touching, and they need to be able to have a math program that does that with them. And even a reading program where they can touch the letters and the sounds. So, unfortunately, it falls back on the parents. They have to go back and pick up these holes with these kids. And so they can make sandpaper letters for the little ones so that the kids can touch the sounds, and then they associate the sound with the letter. You know, math right in the kitchen, you know, counting beans, counting jelly beans, counting spoons, counting forks, adding, subtracting. All that makes sense to these kids.
And it stays with them.
Yes, it does.
One of the things that you point out is that the current education system, and you mentioned it was designed during the Industrial Revolution, is failing kids in this information age of ours. How do we use the information age to help our kids?
Well, the computer is invaluable. It is about the computer as long as you monitor what goes on in that computer.
Absolutely, absolutely. They shouldn't be involved with, you know, Super Mario.
No. And computer skills are not gaming skills unless they happen to be programming those games. Okay, but the way the 21st century will need human beings to process information is different than the way we set up this educational system in 1852, which hasn't changed. Okay, information, as we know, on the computer comes in on many levels. You have to be able to prioritize and sift through information. You have to be able to know what questions to ask and how to evaluate the answer. And these are skills that are basically not taught in school. And so if you work with your child, you research, you look, you talk, you ask questions, you get them to question the question, you get them to question the source of the question, then all of a sudden you're developing a skill of creative thinking, of they're initiating the learning process, they're researching, they're growing. They have the attributes of what they need in the 21st century.
This is a point I think that comes up a lot with parents, and that's some kids will get bored. They'll get restless with a particular topic. How do you interest them in that topic?
Well, let's back up a minute. Here's sometimes kids are bored even when they love the topic. Okay, and often the reason for that is the form of presentation. One, it could be a teacher who's explaining things and it's all auditory and they're just listening to words. Many of these kids are computer literate. They are used to the fast pace of information changing every few seconds, as it is in movies, as it is in computer games. They're not engaged because of the way the information is coming in. Now, some children may not be engaged just because they're not engaged, but if you usually tie the information to something that they are interested in and make parallels and present it in a way that is stimulating for them, we have a change of generation. They're used to fast sensory input. Okay, a book, and I'm all for reading, I'm an author, but a book does not necessarily give that to them, and certainly listening to someone lecture doesn't help either.
You know, it's strange because the other day I happened to see, you know, I think that when I was in school, they used to call it audio-visual presentation. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember where I saw it. It must have been on one of the cable channels. And they were running one of these old audio-visual films, and believe it or not, I could actually remember sitting down in a classroom and watching this, and we thought, oh, gee, this is wonderful. You know, we can actually see what the topic is all about. And
right.
Yet today, it struck me as I was watching this, this would put most kids today to sleep. I mean, it's as you said, I mean, we live in you know, an instant age of information. So the presentation has to be different.
Yeah, you look at how fast even TV changes screens or movies, and certainly how fast moving these video games are, and you know, instant text messaging, and this is what our kids are used to. They are actually becoming neurologically rewired.
Let me ask you this. You say that every child is born with a gift, and how does a parent recognize that gift and see that that gift is developed once they go off to school?
Okay, well, first of all, it may or may not happen in school. A parent cannot depend on school to find that, because the schools are restricted. They're restricted by the No Child Left Behind Act. There's only certain things. They have all this. They become content delivery systems because they have to, by law, cover this content. And their child's individual gifts and talents may not be on that list. So a parent really needs to step in and do that outside of school. And I know that they have lots of homework, but it has to be, you have to prioritize passion. You have to look for a child's interest by how they're behaving, by what they gravitate to. What I often see is that we ignore the obvious. I had a child and a parent come into my office, and the parent says, I don't know what this child likes to do. And I'm looking at the child's work, and there's doodles in the corners of all the pages. And I said, oh, look. And the parent says, yes, he doodles all the time, but we're trying to stop him. No. Give him a sketch pad. Okay, this child is, you know, telling you in his own way, and he may not recognize it, that there's artistic talent there. There's a drive to draw, to create, to produce in that manner. And so these are the little clues that we have to watch for as parents, and then help our children develop in those areas, regardless of whether it happens in school.
You know what? I hate it, but we have to leave it right here for now. Again, in detail, the Amazon.com bestseller, The Call to Brilliance, a Mom's Choice Award winner by our guest this morning. And Risa, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Risa Steindl-Brown here on Don Weeks, WGY Morning News.